Father, we thank you again for this day. And Lord, a new beginning of a new year as far as the month is concerned and as far as the week is concerned. Great things to anticipate until we see you come, dear Father, as we serve you and learn to co-labor with you. What a joy it is to know that God has said that we could be co-laborers with him in his work this side of eternity. And Lord, realize that when you have us as human beings, we're frail. We understand that we can do nothing on energy, and thank you for the Holy Spirit of God to give to us. We ask you, help us submit to him more this year than ever before, that he could use these bodies for your glory until we see your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, take them, and I hope you do have your Bibles. Take your Bible and turn with me, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 4. And this is just going to be an introduction. It's not the message, but it's an introduction to the message, or part of an introduction to the message. I've been looking at what I felt the Lord to have us start out with in this year, and when you began to pray about messages, sometimes you start in one direction, and then that's just a starting point, and realize the Lord wants you to go in another direction. One thing I know for sure, though, we live in an age today, ladies and gentlemen, that where there's a famine in this land when it comes to the Word of God. And I think the reason for that is simply because the body of Christ is simply divided, intentionally by Satan, not intentionally probably other people. When I say the body, I'm talking about the churches across America especially, is because you've got so many different things that have been taught that where there's a division, and God's people must be informed. And sometimes we get in the battle of watching the time elements when a message has been preached, and you get in a hurry. I do get in a hurry. Can't get everything in like you should. So I've asked the Lord this year, if I have messages I can't complete within a 20 or 30 minute or 40 minute an hour time, no, within a precise time, that I'm going to divide it up into more than just one part. That way we'd be able to get the solution or the message as a whole. And hopefully God can use that to settle us. I believe that when we talk about life in this life, the church will never wake up like it should unless it's taught the Word of God. And the Word of God cannot be taught just from man's energy. And I want to show you in Ephesians 4, before we get into this one, I believe you enjoy this. This is an unusual subject today because I'm going to talk about the physics of faith. And the Lord led me this a few months ago. And I got looking at the physics of faith. Most times you think of physics as far as the secular world in some field of science. But there's a lot to be learned from this title. But before we get to that, I also look in Ephesians chapter 4 and see what God has said about what he's doing for his church. If you look down in verse 12, or look in verse 11, I should say, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now, he gave these gifts to the church, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the evangelist. What does that do? Well, evangelist, it stirs people up with the Word of God. But you know something, folks? If we don't have the Word of God in us, there's not much that he can do. Because the Holy Spirit can't stir us up unless we have the Word of God in us. The Word of God does us very little good on the outside. It has to be inside our heart. Where do you learn the Word of God? I believe that's where you find at the end of this, he said, pastors and teachers. Because people in church go to hear more the pastor and teacher teach if they come two or three times a week than when you hear an evangelist who maybe once or twice a year. We see that here. So there's a very important part of teaching so that we might grow thereby, at least have the opportunity to grow thereby, so that we don't have this famine of the things of God in his Word in our life. God has left us this book preserved. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God. He helps us understand what we need to understand, but sometimes we're in such a hurry to get through, we miss a lot of what God wants us to know. And there's got to be a communication between the person you hear and the one who's hearing. And the Holy Spirit has to do both. Unless God sanctions by the Holy Spirit what I'm saying, it won't do you a bit of good. Unless God sanctions your heart and inspires you to receive what's been said if it's the Word of God, it won't do any good there. And by the way, our will can resist that. You can resist this morning not listening to the Word of God. God will let us do that. Our will can cause us to be lazy. I could have been lazy the last few weeks as far as the Word of God, as bad as I felt, but I put a priority in the fact that we can't learn unless we learn God's Word, and I certainly can't preach it and teach it unless I learn God's Word. And I find out, for me, to learn takes a slow process. So when you come to present God's Word, I'm trying to do a lot of learning, a slow process, in just a short period of time. And there'll still be some of that. But notice, this is what he has given. He said, talking about apostles and prophets, we know that's in the beginning stages. And he said some evangelists, and then he said pastors and teachers. Why? He gives these a gift to the church for the perfecting of the saints. That's where they can be complete in knowledge. For the work of the ministry, that they may know what God wants to be done and not work in vain. And then he said, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We need that edifying. Now, this book will edify us if we'll study it. It'll edify us if we preach it. But sometimes, that's the reason I never preach my own revivals here. When I preach here now, more so lately, I'm more a teacher-preacher with hope and enthusiasm. But if I go to another church, I may do more evangelism. Outreach, because what in preaching here is serious to me as a pastor, to teach you truth so you can grow. If I go somewhere else, I want to preach in a way that can stir up truth, hopefully, that they people have got. That's one thing I love about people come here and say, you know, people receive the Word of God well, and many times they'll say it's a good sign they've been taught well. Amen. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business, teaching this book, and you can't teach it. I'm sorry. God just don't let me live through the week and I get up here and open my mouth and he puts words in it. Amen. If he does, it'll be the wrong kind of words, tell you that, because my mind can't do that. It takes a lot of studying to look at situations and grow, study Word of God precept by precept, and study and get it to put it in systematic order as we look through the scriptures to see how things fit. Like we've been for Wednesday night for over a year, what a tremendous study that we had, the two systems that started back in the book of Genesis, and now we're ending up in Revelation chapter 18. Hope to finish it maybe this coming Wednesday night. We must choose whom we will serve, and we must set the direction for the coming generation, or they will not have what we have. And that just scares me to death. Because I'm seeing some, you say, preacher, are you that? No, I'm just a little moron, really, trying to serve God. But I'm seeing things, folks, today, that the generation coming up is not going to have what I had. Because the Word of God's been belittled, it's been rewritten, it's been put away. The government's fighting every way possible. Jesus' name is not wanting to be mentioned anywhere. And you're finding there's coming a generation that will not know Jesus Christ like you and I had the privilege to know it. Because they got to be taught. God gave that to the nation of Israel and to the church. The church has to be taught by those who are the leaders. In the home, the parents must teach their children. In the church must receive the Word of God. And he can't receive unless it's been taught. And so he says that this is what is for the perfection of the saints, for the works of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ. What? And notice in verse 13, till we come in the unity to the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man. And I said that that's at the rapture. It's going to take place. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're learning now to measure to the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that'll be completed one day when we get a glorified body and stand in God's presence. Now watch in verse 14. Why is he doing that? That we would have the unity of the faith in this life, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or complete man. By the measure of the stature, in verse 14, that we, the child of God, not the unsaved, but we, watch, henceforth, from here forth, be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, Satan is doing his part in trying to deceive the body of Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, if we don't understand what this Bible says, we will be deceived, because wherever we go, somebody is teaching us something about life. We learn it every day. As a matter of fact, it looks like in our day, our government is forcing some things about life they want us to teach that the Bible says wrong. The Bible just comes out and says it's wrong. On the other hand, we must, as long as we have the liberty, teach and preach this book. And watch what he said. To and fro, carried about whatever wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We must teach this book. We must study this book. We must obey God in the sense of trying to learn this book with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. And we must find the place that God would want us to serve. And then when that happens, here's the whole thing. When that happens, we must let God give the results. Because I'll be honest with you, God taught me a lot of things 54 years ago. I thought everybody I talked to was going to get saved. And I found out very few of them did. And it used to bother me and worry me, and I'd pray and get along with God. And if you've done much sowing, you see the same thing. But I've learned something in the last few years, and these days we're living in. My job is to give the gospel. My God is to give the word of God and let God give the results. If I never see any results at all like Noah did, God is still doing things. God's still doing the same. And it should be with you and I. We must be sure that we're teaching from this book, that we're counseling and trying to win people from this book, and this book being as the Word of God. Now, we need camp meetings. We need revival meetings. We need meetings that come someone in to stir us up. I need someone that's more to stir you up. But what I'm trying to say, there comes a time you won't be stirred up if a man comes in here, if he preaches something that you don't know. Because you see, the Holy Spirit's going to take the Word of God in your heart and stir you. If it's not there, you're not going to be stirred. God will not go outside His Word. God will not go outside His directions. He works. He has a framework of that. And we are to find ourselves asking God, what is our mark or place in that framework, you see. We need also the plain teaching. We need down to earth. And I pray, God, help me make it so simple. And you're getting it, you know, and that means it's already simple. If it gets any simpler, I hope you can get it, that we can really grasp some truths and progressively grow in the Lord, that people will see Christ in us and want Him, want what we have. I'm afraid a lot of people don't see a lot of Christ in us today and even desire what we have until they get under the message and God brings conviction somehow or another. So now turn away to the book of Hebrews and we'll talk. We'll get into it, and I believe God is going to honor and bless this. I know He is. In Hebrews chapter, if you look down to chapter 11, we know this by heart, but I want you to, as a reference point, look with me. It's talking about faith. Now, I'm talking about the physics of faith. We'll look at what physics means in just a few minutes. Let's read the verses first. Now, the writer says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. For the evidence, or help us of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, you've heard me say this before, to repeat, I have to do it again. Those substance means the reality, the solid quality of things hoped for, that which is expected. God gives us things beyond this life that we hope for or we expect, because the quality He gives us, knowing that it's true, though we cannot see it with the physical eye right now. Now, notice in verse 2, he says, for by it, by what? By faith, notice, the elders obtain a good report. In other words, what they did by trusting God by faith, which motivated them to do what they did in the body of flesh, God said He got a good report from that. And in turn, notice, he said, the elders obtain a good report. Then verse 3 says something that's obvious, a tremendous verse of Scripture. He said, notice, through faith, we understand something. Now, notice the term, the pronoun we. He's not talking about the world. He's not talking about the human race here. They don't understand anything about God. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that. But he is talking about we who are the children of God. We understand by faith, notice, that worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Atoms, molecules, matters, we can understand as we see, you know, matter and reflect in light. We know that that just didn't happen. We know those things that we've had the privilege to understand in our day of atoms and molecules and makes up matter. We know that that just didn't happen. It didn't just happen if something was not seen. God created it. Amen. And therefore, though we cannot see it, and only in these days be able to see it through microscopes and the space and telescopes, God Almighty created those things. Now, if you turn with me over to Philippians chapter 2, last verse for a few minutes, and we'll look at some thought about this line. Look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, 13, and 14. Now, Paul is talking about here the outworking of the in work of salvation. In other words, that which has, we have received in Christ Jesus being worked out of us. Now, I want you to look in verse 12. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. I like that because Paul said a genuine child of God just not going to obey in someone's presence. He said, you obey God in my presence, and when you're not in my presence, I expect that of a child of God. Because you see, whether he's in Paul's presence or not, don't really matter, but they're in God's presence all the time, whether with Paul or not with Paul. And so he said, this blesses his heart to find how much more in my absence that they actually obey. Then he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, it's amazing he stuck that in there at this time, because some people think, well, they got to work to get saved. You'll never get saved trying to work out your salvation. There's too many verses of Scripture show why. Well, what does this mean then when you talk about working out your own salvation? Well, let's go back and talk about some things. For instance, did you know you have to work things out? Let me try to explain it this way. You can't work out in your flesh without being born first. Does that make sense? When you were born as a little baby, you didn't do anything in your flesh but probably bother mother before you were born. And when you were born, then you begin to work out what you could work out within the framework that God gave you in your genealogy and what you began to learn by. And now we're growing up, we're still, by the way, aren't we still working out in flesh? And it comes from the physical birth. Then how in the world can you work out the spiritual birth if you don't have it? You can't, because you have to know what's to be done that pleases God. And so therefore what he's saying, and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, let that salvation work out of you so others can see it. Because unless it works out of us, if it's in us and no one else can see it, they don't know who we're saved or not. By the way, our words don't mean too much nowadays about we're saved or not saved, unless someone sees it coming out as far as the flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? If a person comes up to me and says they're saved, then I may have met it first time, accept them by the word. But watch them a little while, and then if they don't see that working out of salvation in their lives, then it's pretty obvious they're not saved. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, you're going to be doing some things that God says do. Amen? And I'll be doing some things that God says do. So I have to understand now, it takes a birth then. How's that work out? You've heard me teach this back a few years ago, but I want to give reference here as we get into Philippians chapter 2 at this time. Seed is received for physical birth. You can't have physical birth without seed. You understand that? And you have the seed of the man, there's receiving it as far as the woman is concerned, and there is conception. Without that former, without that process, there's no working out. There's nothing to work out to. Can you understand? And by the way, you and I had nothing to do about our physical birth. You didn't somewhere else say, you know, I want to be born physically. No, that came in the hand of God through procreation. Two people came together, hopefully in love. In that situation, the birth came. So in this, there was a seed, there is a conception, and then there is a prenatal period, a growth of that child for 9 months, and then there is a delivery into this physical world with loving hands to receive the love and to raise in the image, as God's image, and for the glory of God. Well, did you know in John 3, Jesus said you must be born again. Therefore, there's got to be a former. Isn't it amazing? As he gives that to Nicodemus, he talks about physical birth, and that's what he talks about, spiritual birth. And the first thing Nicodemus thinks about is physical birth. And he said, can I go back to mother womb and be born the second time? And she said, no, except you be born of water and spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that means to be born again from above at that time. What is necessary there? The Bible teaches us that the word of God is the seed of God. In Matthew 13, as you throw that seed out for people to hear, some will fall by the wayside, some will fall on stony ground, but some will fall on good ground. That means there's a heart that's hungry enough to believe what God says and receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, and spiritual conception takes place right then for that person being born into the family of God. And then there's a prenatal period from the day that I trusted Christ as my Savior, now, which is about 54 years ago this past September, I've been a prenatal peer growing. You'd think I'd have grown a lot more, wouldn't you? I've been growing in a prenatal peer, and will go until Jesus calls me home. That's my final delivery, and so is yours. And the word of God is the seed. So God gives us a parallel to understand that which I cannot see with my physical eye, I can believe by faith, because he gives me something on the earth to see how physical birth works. And he says, as I work my physical life out, then work out your salvation too so others can see it. If someone says that there's a child born somewhere or another, you might accept that, but you really can't believe it until you see it or someone shows you some sign. Then you have evidence of it, right? You take it by their word until you see the evidence. I guarantee you, there may be some of your family somewhere or another, they got a child and you never seen a picture of it, nothing else, but you take it at their word. Somewhere or another, you'll see a picture or see the child physically. Well, God tells us to take his word spiritually. He has a formula. He has a system of being born again. And when you meet that criteria, it's working, even though you can't see it with the physical eye. But he does say, I give you my word, I have given you my Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will represent the Lord Jesus Christ through this book, so you can learn about me in this life in the veil beyond the flesh about spiritual things. I will help you understand things you cannot see except by faith. But you got to stay in the book to do it. And so I find out that then the seed is receiving the spiritual birth also. Now, when I understand that, he says, now, for it is God, after verse 12, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's the reason why he's not going to leave it up to us. We're going to get it. God starts to work in us of his good pleasure when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what the Holy Spirit done, is brought us conviction, draws us to the Lamb of God, and we go through that door, Jesus Christ, and there we find this taking place. God worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Isn't it wonderful? He says not that if he will, he says he will do that. If you and I get saved, God says he will work in us to do his good pleasure. You ever find that? How does it happen? I'll tell you this. The closer you are to God, the more you'll feel guilty about things if they're not exactly right. The further you are, even a saved person further away won't feel as guilty about things unless they're close. The closer you get to the source of light, the more you'll find understanding guilty things or things that are wrong. Then he said, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Watch. In verse 15 and 16, then we'll get into the bulk of the message. Notice he said, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Why? That ye may be blameless, talking about the child of God now, and harmless, notice, the sons of God. What a statement. That you and I, who have been born into the family of God, is referred to as the sons of God. And it means daughters too, the word does, as children of God. Talking about children of God, watch. Without rebuke, that you be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. And notice where we're at. Boy, what a joy it is if we could live a life without rebuke. But you know, we all have to be rebuked sometimes because we don't have it all together all the time. Because look where we're at. We're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shines as light of the world, or lights of the world. We have no light to shine. And yet he says we shines as lights of the world. How does that figure into it? We'll see that in this physic and the physics of faith. Notice also he said, as we shine as lights of the world, we're holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In other words, how can you hold forth the word of life unless you know that word, unless you can present that word? And that's where studying comes. God has promised to bless us spiritually when we study. And then he said, hold forth the word of life, that I may, that Paul said, that I might rejoice. I guess Paul is saying this. There are some times he wonders if he's helped anybody. I know I have. If you're teaching, I know you have too. But he says this. He said, I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Why? That I'm not running. I'll see in that day of Christ that I'm not running in vain when God brings all truth together so you and I can grasp the wonderful things that God is telling us about us in this particular life. And then he says, have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. I'm going to talk to you a few minutes about the physics of faith. Now, physics is primarily a study of what we cannot see. It is a science of the invisible. And we know things like quarks. We talk about magnetic fields and gravitational forces. And yet, physics is more than just that. Physics is also the science of dealing with change and the interaction of matter or energy. I think about recently, you hear a lot, especially if you listen to meteorologists, they talk about the Doppler effect on weather. It's interesting because Doppler is in the field of science, if you understand it. And the thing about it is this was named after Christian Doppler in the early 1800s. And this is the change of sound in waves of sound waves and light waves moving towards or away from the person who's observing it. And there's a lot of things that can be done to use those light waves and sound waves for marvelous things in our particular day. They said the person had a physics test. And the question on that test, and it was this. It said, what is the simplest way to observe the optical Doppler effect? The simplest way. And one student, and I'm amazed like this, because I believe this student really looked at it from the simple way. Everybody else looks like from the education, intellect, make it as, you know, make it so large that half people can understand it. But this fellow put this down. Now, we're talking about, again, the Doppler effect and how sound waves and light waves, as they move to and from each other, that you detect those by instruments you have. This student put it this way. He said, go out at night and look at cars. If a car light is white, the car is coming towards you. If a car light is red, the car is moving away from you. And he got it counted right. That's not the way they taught it, but that's the way he saw it. So that gets me down. It helps me understand. Amen. At least I know the red lights. I ain't worried about running over unless he's running backwards. And I believe I can run faster than he can backwards. At least I can get out of the way. But headlights may be a little bit different along that line. I heard also, talking about physics too, that one student was bragging one time in college because it's hypothetical, it's off the wall thing, but he was bragging about how he graduated, and man, he got out of physics. He had passed it with high colors and so forth, and said the thermometer on the wall was listening to him, and of course, the thermometer can't be, but for the joke anyhow. Said the thermometer on the wall said, you may graduate from college, but I have more degrees than you have. Amen. Well, we want to talk about the physics of faith. You know, physics is primarily a study of what I said we cannot see, but faith is also seeing the invisible. So I can use this word for that, and I believe that'll help me understand some things about God that I never seen before. Faith is seeing the invisible. The Holy Spirit of God gives us, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen, gives us sensory perception, they call it. That we can see things that actually, we can understand things that actually we cannot see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, watch. You've heard me quote this many times. This is spiritual varieties that are not discovered by human wisdom. This is the spiritual things in variety that God says about him you cannot discover by human wisdom. And watch how God puts it. He said in verse 9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now, someone say, well, I said a few weeks ago on this verse, love him. Well, everybody said they love God. Well, if you do, you'll trust Christ as your Savior then. Because that's where God's love is seen for us. Loving God is not from the lips. Loving God is action in doing what God says. God is love. But on the other hand, to say we love God like we should, we will trust Christ as our personal Savior because we experience God's love in him and therefore helps us love him more. And that's how it helps us love in this world too. So he's talking about here again, loving, he said, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Now, what Paul is saying, Paul is talking about those things that are beyond our sensor limits. They cannot be conceived. They cannot be perceived in time except by faith. He's saying there are things that God talks about that man will never see in time as far as like he does things that reflect light. Because this wisdom, the spiritual world itself does not reflect light like materialism does in this world, and you have to accept it by faith. Then how do you do that? It seems like a man who's not saved will say, how in the world can I accept something by faith I can't see? Hey, that's where God says, I'll give you my spirit. I preserve my word. Get in this book, and you'll find there is an information given. There is an understanding given that the Holy Spirit gives you that will surprise you in what you can see when you really obey God in what he said. That's that extra sensor that we have the world knows nothing about. Why? You can't get that just being born physically. You have to be born again. You have to have the Spirit of God. You have to be born into the family of God, and that's done, as we see, by faith. And a lot of places you can go to for that in this particular life. So Paul's talking about those things that are beyond our sensory limits. But whereas that we cannot conceive them and perceive them in time except by faith, God says this, He has revealed them to us. Where and how? By His Spirit. Look in verse 10. To understand what I need to understand above verse 9, to see things by faith that I can't see with my physical eye, but I know they're true. Verse 10 shows me what God does. But God has revealed them. Notice, He said, as it is written, eye has not seen, has not heard, and these things that we cannot see, He has prepared for them that love Him. You can't see Him with the physical eye, but He says, I prepared them for you that love Him. And those who have loved Him certainly will understand that love by receiving Christ as Savior. But, look at the but in 10. But, He says, what man know, but God hath revealed them unto us. Who is the us? The human race? Absolutely not. The human race wouldn't understand it. They think it'd be foolish. Look the verses back in chapter 2. They think this thing of the new birth is foolish. And you get down to understand verse 14, the natural man, the unsaved man, he just doesn't, man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. They're too foolish. He said, don't hammer that stuff. That's no man's land. That's spooky stuff. No, it's not. It's real by faith, but they can't get it. Why? You've got to have an eye-opener faith through the new birth. You see, if God didn't give us His Spirit, we wouldn't even understand it. You know what it is that brings that truth to your heart when you really see Bible truth? It's not because we're so smart. It's because the Holy Spirit started to reveal it to us. And there's a barren witness. You know, I never seen that. Isn't that a blessing? Man, look how that fits in my new birth. Look how that fits in my Christian life. Look how that fits in what I'm doing now. Look how this fits when I'm worshiping God. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will enlighten that to your heart that you know God gave it to you because you grew in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And by the way, you grew to the place that you practice what you know, too, because you know anything that we do in this life, we have to have physical exercise and so forth. In this life, for these physical bodies, we have to have spiritual exercise for the spiritual body, too. So He said He had received them, but He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Watch this. How? By His Spirit. How do we get it? Do we get it on sale? You mean to tell me if I'm not saved, I read this book? Now, if an unsaved person starts reading this book, the only thing they're going to get is head knowledge, and a lot of things won't understand, so they won't read it too long. They'll find things in there. They say, well, listen, that book says about some things about somebody that's worse than anything I've ever read before. Well, you got it out of context. God, this book will reveal people. I mean, when there's sin, He shows it. When there's adultery, He shows it. When there's adultery, He shows it. When there's harlot going on, He shows those things. He don't play with that stuff. What He's saying, though, the fact is that God revealed to us the reality of things in sin to see we need Him. And once we trust Christ as Savior, then the Holy Spirit comes in and helps us grow by grace. Ladies and gentlemen, if you get saved and stop just because you won't stop, that's good things. But probably if you stop something that you don't want to do after you get saved, eventually you start it again. The way to stop is when God convicts you of it. And you know how that does? This book. Now, if I get saved and I'm getting in this book, there's a lot of things I brought with me over my salvation, trash that's still there. But this book has helped get it out because it showed me some things that God says that should not be in a Christian life. And you practice that because you want to please your Father rather than the flesh that God gives us. The tabernacle can. And He goes on, He said, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Ladies and gentlemen, physics will stretch your faith, and faith will stretch physics. When it comes to spiritual things, here's what happened. Give you a thought. You're not going to see this unless you accept it by faith. Because there are things beyond the senses' perception. What happens is this. The spiritual things, there is a breach between flesh and the spirit. God came this way. We could not go that way. God came this way by His Son, made it possible for us to be able to go back over into that spiritual world. And it's like you say that we look into it by faith and God reveals the operation of that spiritual world through faith in His Word. But I want you to notice what God does here, though. He bypasses our brain and does an in-run round our five senses and reveals things to us by His Spirit to our spirit. That's what verse 13 says. Notice what it says. Which things also we speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teacheth. We get that from spirit to man to spirit to man. We get that in the educational realm as we teach each other wherever we go. Go to school, learn something, put us up a teacher, and teach someone else the same thing. That has to do with the spiritual world, the physical world here in this life. But when it comes to the things of God, there is a bypassing of that which rests in our brains, so God can give us understanding that when our brain operates on it, we know there's something beyond what we can see physically. And so what happened, it reveals to us spirit to spirit. Verse 13 says, which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, which we learn from each other and from teaching in the world, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. What? When has the Holy Ghost taught you and I? I've never been studying in my study here at the church or at home late at night, like I was this morning. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, I said, who is it? Holy Ghost, I want to come and talk to you a little bit. And come in and sit down in a chair next to my desk and start telling me I want to teach you a few things. It don't work that way. You say, boy, it'd be good, it would. It won't ever work that way. Because then you're walking by sight, not by faith. And so what happens is he says here, and I take this reality. He says this in verse 13, the Holy Ghost teaches by which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Watch. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. That word things that go there. Spirit could put the things there. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, he may learn, like Jesus may use parables to teach a spiritual truth. But the parable itself is not the spiritual truth. Because you can take one parable and five different people teach a spiritual truth from that parable. Just depending on how they want to use that object lesson. But the Holy Spirit compares spiritual things with spiritual things. I like that. When we read recently over there in the book of in Moses' day about him being up on the mount and what God said to him and giving him the law and so forth a couple of weeks ago. When you see that some things that said there, those things that don't work in the age of grace for us today are still powerful, but we have something better. And it helps me understand, though, what God gave Moses was true for that day. The Leviticus system worked for Israel because they could have a relationship with God even though sin in their lives. And see, when Jesus came, that all that did there was just atone for sin. But when Jesus came, he took away sin. And so an amazing thing about it is the Holy Spirit teaches us comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. What did God tell Moses? I'll study it and the Holy Spirit helps me understand what God wanted Israel to do and be a representation of that day. But now I study in the age of grace of Jesus Christ, and that same Holy Spirit helps me compare that spiritual thing with my spirituality today to see how it affects me, if it affects me at all, or what I need to do now that would be different than what Moses did. I don't have to take a lamb down to the temple. Moses did. I don't have to worry. Hey, you're going to see right here in this, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, when Moses was the only one that could go into the very presence of God to get the law. Moses went up on that mountain to get that law when God said come up there. No one else could go even near that mountain. When it came to the tabernacle and came to the temple, only the priests could go inside in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. No one else could do that. To do that would be abomination and would forfeit their lives. Let me tell you something good. Praise his name. I can get right on my knees and go right into the Holy of Holies and not be stopped. You know why? Because of Jesus Christ. He's the door. You know something? So can you. That's what I'm saying. The physics of faith shows me some things. The physics of what God told Moses to do is one way, and they had to do it. But ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see we're open. We are open-faced before God. There's nothing hid in the sense that's hid like in Moses' day. The law itself is a killer rather than a life giver. But now understand spiritual things with spiritual things. Where the law was a killer, grace and mercy came through Jesus Christ and offers life. Spiritual things are spiritual things. And so I have to stop there this morning. There are some things that cannot be learned but with the mind or perceived with the senses alone. If they can only be revealed or they can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And verse 14 says that of chapter 2. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now you got to understand who the natural man is. The natural man is the unredeemed man. The carnal man, in verse chapter 3, is the one who's saved, but he's lived more like the world than he does for God. And he might shorten his life by doing that. And then you have, he's a fleshly man. And then, of course, you have the spiritual man. The spiritual man is a renewed man. He's been born again, and he's doing his best with all the faults he has to serve the living God. These things can only be revealed. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Knows the captive spirit. What? The unsaved man, the natural man, receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. What? The natural man receiving the Holy Spirit? How does that work? The natural man, the unregenerate man, the unsaved man, does not receive the things. Notice what he said again, of the Spirit of God. The only thing can tap into his heart is that gospel. The gospel message that's proclaimed and hurled forth in proclamation that Jesus Christ came and died and was buried and rose again the third day. And thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the only thing the natural man can understand if he's willing to receive it. And God said, I'll come in and you'll be born again and I'll give you my spirit. I'm talking about the physics of faith. Understand the difference now. Law and grace. I love grace much more. Wait, that don't mean that law don't have effect on me. Sin's just as much sin as it was in Moses' day. What God, the law says, is just as wrong, and the law still killeth. Want for the grace of God and the blood of Christ, we all be doomed. Father in heaven, please bless this, Lord. We need teaching. We need to understand things. I know there's those who would deny a lot of things, Lord, but Lord God, anybody that opens this book and wants to know the truth, we're not perfect in all we believe, but Lord, the groundwork is so marvelous after years of studying that we can see, even by looking at the physics of faith, that which cannot be seen with the natural eye can be seen by the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, who you said teaches us. And Lord, it's got to be by faith. We've got to trust it by faith, and we do that by standing in this book. I pray you bless the next couple of weeks, or this one more week, as we look at these different points about the physics of faith. And each one of these points is going to open up a little more about the difference between the spiritual world that God wants us to learn about while we're in the physical world serving our Lord and Savior. God, I believe you raised this church up for a purpose. I believe you saw the heart of those who really want to know the door. In the last days we're living in now, there's so much being taught. There's people looking to get numbers more so than souls. And Lord, our desire is to teach the precious Word of God until we can't do that. Please, God, and Lord, everyone here has a Bible like I have. They can go home, study it. They can ask you to help them to see. And if you don't show them what's been said, then I'd be one not even, I wouldn't accept it until you showed it to them. Dear Father, I just believe when you follow it like you should, God honors that. It's because that's honoring, the Holy Spirit honors the Lord Jesus Christ. Now help someone see, we talked about the birth today. Everybody understands physical birth. Help someone see the spiritual birth, Lord, that Jesus talked about in John 3. I could go back there and show the scriptures, show how that spiritual birth, that the seed, and the Lord, the final deliverer, all those things, ingredients that we have in physical birth. And though I can't see the physical birth like I can't see the spiritual birth like I can the physical birth, I can believe it by faith because there's ingredients there. Why? God who created for the procreation and spiritual birth is the same God who told us, who created physical birth, the Father for families, the same God who also set forth the new birth in Jesus Christ. Help us keep the terms right so we'd understand the message. Help someone to see Jesus Christ today. Lord, they've been faltering, been trying to maybe run or leave. Lord, we need you. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Are we going to listen to what someone says or listen to what God says? Lord, that's the reason we talk from the Scriptures, not just about them. We want the Scripture to be the source of that which gives us information. And that Scripture hid in our heart will be that which the Holy Spirit will bear witness to us about things that are true. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.